This is Triad Arts Weekend. I'm David Ford. Over the past decade, graphic design has grown tremendously in terms of its reach, expanding from a highly specialized profession to a tool used by many of us today. Right now, graphic design is the largest of the design professions, and this week, one of the most ambitious graphic design exhibitions is coming to the Triad. Graphic Design, now in production, opens at the Southeastern Center for Contemporary Art on Saturday, October 26th. Co-organized by the Walker Art Center in Minneapolis and the Smithsonian's Cooper Hewitt National Design Museum in New York, the enormous exhibit features work produced since 2000, work that's been assembled by more than 200 designers. SICA in Winston-Salem is the only venue in the Southeast to host the show. Last week, I visited the center during installation for a preview with Executive Director Mark Leach, Installation Manager Registrar Cliff Dosel, and Curator of Contemporary Art Cora Fisher. So for starters, I wonder if one of you all would put North Carolina, particularly this region, in context in terms of design. Mark, maybe you could take that one for starters.
Well, David, graphic design is something we all live with every day. We probably take it so much for granted that we don't realize that it's a discipline. And so for us, this exhibition is an opportunity to bring this wonderful sector that we live with every day and probably don't tend to regard very much into high relief. And, you know, we have a remarkable design community. You know, the American Institute of Graphic Arts has a chapter here in the Triad. They have one in Charlotte and one in Raleigh. So there's just this abundance. There is graphic design that lives everywhere.
So yeah, the ground obviously fertile for this sort of exhibition. It's a remarkable collaboration. Cliff, could you give us the background of how it got started and some of the other players involved, I guess beginning with Walker Museum in Minneapolis?
The show was put together by the Walker and the Cooper Hewitt. It was offered to a number of other institutions as a traveling show. We took it up because we thought it was a departure from what we'd been doing previously. It was an area that we felt needed to have a light shone on it. This was the opportunity to do it and an in-depth enough show to really let our audience see what graphic design's all about today.
So many different aspects to graphic design. Which aspects of design in general, on the ground today, Cora, starting with 2013, maybe some recent innovations that interest you most?
Well, I think one of the things that's really exciting about the show is that it has a strong emphasis on interactivity because, of course, with the profusion of graphic design in our everyday lives, there are really user-generated ways of interacting with graphic design, things that we subliminally take for granted or things that we interact with very actively. But there's an area on our overlook where you can vote on a sort of rebranded logo and choose which identity you prefer, the older logo or the newer logo. So that's a really fun piece. And I think it sort of captures the spirit of how physically and actively we engage with graphic design every day.
Hey, Mark, what do you want the gallery visitor to walk away with in this presentation? What are you hoping to establish here?
What we hope that the visitor leaves with is, first of all, a genuine kind of inspiration, the way that graphic design can be so instrumental in how we project ourselves, let alone understand the world and interpret it as we move in it, live in it, and communicate with one another. You know, the show itself is just so broad. It has so many different themes. And I think what the show will ultimately do for each visitor is give them a very deep understanding of the many ways that graphic design is active in our cultural landscape.
Cora, you spoke to one of your favorite aspects of the exhibit, the interactive element. Cliff, I just peeked in the door. I know this is still being laid out, but there are so many things to take in. Does one or two images or exhibits or concepts register with you so far? Do you have a favorite that you like to talk about?
Well, that's sort of one of the funny things about this show is that I have favorites, but it depends on what time you talk to me. I started out the show looking at tiny little images of each of these pieces and thinking, oh, that looks nice. I can't wait to see that piece. And we get them up on the wall, and it's like, well, that's okay. I like that. But then we open another crate, and I see something that I saw another tiny image of a month ago. And then looking at this thing, I think, oh, wow. That's just completely different. I just removed two pieces from a crate this morning. The title of the piece is Broken Glass Everywhere. It's sort of a fluorescent, wild fluorescent poster that at first glance, you don't really know what it's all about. Then you see, oh, wait a minute, there's text in there. Oh, it says broken glass everywhere. But it looks like it's made of like 1960s broken fluorescent poster kind of thing. It's just, it's amazing piece. Talk to me this afternoon and I'll have another favorite piece to tell you about. So
that's great. You're really whetting my appetite to go on this gallery tour we're about to embark on. Great. Well, I'm ready to go. I want to see wallpaper and fluorescence and interactive stuff. Can we take a little gallery tour?
There are two pieces that you see when you first walk into the show that really stand out. The first one is going to be in here. It's a piece called So-So by a group called So-So, and it's called Set Top Box. Okay, now you see that the whole piece is made up of, obviously, a set-top box right in front of us here. It's showing the soap opera network. And then you see a projection behind it with sort of a graphical representation of what all the characters are saying in the program, which is taken off of the subtitle portion of the program. And what we're seeing is the text rotating in space. Certain sections of the text are being randomly highlighted and then unhighlighted. And what it's doing is it's making sort of a graphical representation of everything that you're seeing on the show and everything that's being said on the show, and turning this into a projected work of art. And occasionally, every so often, the computer program will detect what the emotion is, like right there.
I just noticed if the couple were kissing and they highlighted the word kiss and had it in bold blue, it really stood off in three dimension. This is an enormous screen here. What do we have in this room?
Jörg Lini, one of our visiting artists from Switzerland, is going to install this large drawing machine. It's made up of four computer control motors, sort of a large X of like banded steel. And in the middle of that is a device that holds chalk. And a computer is programmed to draw these drawings on the gray wall, which is actually a blackboard, a very large blackboard that we put in the middle of the gallery. The drawings that this thing makes is really compelling. They're very simple, but the fact that it's being drawn in chalk, it harkens back to drawings that we've most of us have seen in elementary school and some of us have seen in high school. And just the sound of the motors and the chalk scraping against the wall and creating these really incredible drawings.
All right, Cora.
The artist Jörg Lini has agreed to train Cliff to actually have new drawings go in through the computer and be output on a cumulative basis throughout the run of the exhibition. So this wall is going to be really dynamic in the sense of it changing throughout the run of the show. So it's not like he's going to come in once and do a demonstration and we'll have the after effects of it. Instead, it's going to be an ongoing process of inputting drawing information and outputting new drawings on the wall.
Come on over here. There's a book that you need to see that is really pretty dramatic. So why don't we walk over here? This area is all about publication design, and it's just a fascinating potpourri. I mean, that's a poor metaphor. But the way that one of the designers used a material that's reflective and creates this kind of dimensional effect, optical illusion that you would normally see in toys and other things that I, as a 60-year-old, remember from childhood, it's just phenomenal. So let's walk over.
All right, let's take a look. Oh, look at this. This cover's in motion, and yet it's not. But it's, what is that material?
It has the effect, when you look at it, of making you think you're looking through the book. So it almost dematerializes the material of the book. And it's just phenomenal.
I think the material of this book is mesh that's been overlaid on top of the binding, and what you're seeing that gives it that dematerialized effect is actually a moiré pattern, which is something that's produced when the mesh folds over itself and it creates an interference pattern. So it's something that's really common to silkscreen printing and other methods of printing. This book is about architecture, so it really has a kind of architectonic feel and makes us think about some of the new architecture that we see in the world.
I like the fact that you all have, I mean, one of the emphases is print and font and the minutiae within which we live. And it gives you an appreciation for the hours and hours and hours spent in the design component. I feel like it really gives you a nice toehold into that world.
I think one of the things that's really distinctive about the sort of explosion of graphic design today is that with that digital flexibility comes a sort of digging deep into the roots of what is typography, what is a letter form, what is an identity, what is graphic design. And publication is really a place where you see that because there's so much reference to the handmade. Again, you have that kind of analog and digital interplay, just the use of materials, the use of font, unique forms of bookbinding, unique materials, book art as sculpture. I think all of those things show how graphic artists are really looking back to their history and also from that kind of catapulting into something new.
Great. And I actually walked right past this initially because we were drawn to the visual image, but on the wall to our right are some of the most iconic logos of the 21st century, certainly recognizable. I'm looking at the YMCA, looking at, there's Popeyes and Starbucks. What are we looking at here?
So we're looking at a sort of voting system where viewers are invited to take chips, yellow plastic chips, and vote. Plunk down each of these chips in either a slot that says before or after to sort of nominate which logo they prefer, the earlier iteration or the later one. And, you know, some of them, I think what this really shows you is how much we grow to love certain identities and how emotionally attached we are to them. And then also how much even just the slightest design change can completely elevate something that's really familiar into a new look that's often much stronger than what it was before.
Oh, that's great. Well, let's take a look at some, and I want to drop a chip. By golly, I came all the way over.
To hear what was your favorite and which one you thought was better before or after.
Okay, and I will be very opinionated here. It's interesting because while I appreciate the YMCA logo and the move to the multicolored logo, and it's more 2013, the old one maybe more 1970s, I'm a symmetry guy, and I like the clean lines. I'm on the fence on that one, but in general, that's the shift, isn't it? It's more detailed to more simple, and the font, somehow for me, it kills it sometimes. Nickelodeon, okay, I like that font and the playful eye. I'd say the new one's better than the old. See how opinionated I am? but yet everyone has their preferences. Okay, I'm going to vote. I'm going to drop a chip here. I've got to get... Okay, Nickelodeon, you win. Another great aspect of the Southeastern Center for Contemporary Art is that it is a journey. I mean, physically, we've been walking, and you can continue to walk, and the expanse of it, and yet it's still, I've always found it very friendly, I guess because of all the light that's allowed in through the various windows, and you're looking out on nature. It's a beautiful space.
Yeah, and one of the things we want to let our visitors know about is that this exhibition does take up all of the main gallery space, but it also stretches into the front entryway, which is our preview gallery, where you get a little taste of what's going on, and also into the back where we have our Scott Dunn Auditorium. So in the auditorium, what you'll see is, and I think this is a really amazing aspect to the show, which is film titles and the sort of influential role that moving typography has in terms of how we experience movies and film, especially in a time where animation is so prevalent. And what Cliff has done here is that he's set up a television outside of the auditorium to let viewers know that there's going to be something relating to film. And when you walk into the auditorium, what the viewer will find is a huge state-of-the-art projector movie screen playing these titles. So you really get a kind of cinematic experience that's part of the exhibition, but very specific to that space.
Words without words. What, give me the title of this work, because it's, and this is an interactive.
This is called Empty Words. And basically the viewer is invited to type in a phrase or something that they want to have pictured for them. And then there's an output printer that really just punches out tiny little circles, kind of like a hole punch, into the configuration of letters. And what's great is that in addition to it being visualized in real time while you're here in the gallery, it's something that they can take away and take home and hang on their wall.
All right. And well, the puncher's right here, so this is actually part of the exhibition. Punch out. I'm seeing a new era. Good night. Get up and get it. It's you. And it's propped up against big orange wall. Great. Yeah, because that whole tactile element, just getting your hands, you're rolling up your sleeves and being a part of this is going to be a lot of fun. And that's the unknown. You don't know how it's going
to
go.
You know, you're never allowed to touch the art, and you sure as heck aren't allowed to take anything away. So that's where graphic design really kind of differs from the average show.
All right. Well, thank you all very much. This is a great gallery tour.
David, great to have you. Thanks.
Thank you, David.
Thanks, David.
Southeastern Center for Contemporary Art Executive Director Mark Leach, Installation Manager Registrar Cliff Dosel, and Curator of Contemporary Art Cora Fisher. Graphic Design, now in production, opens at SICA on Saturday, October 26th, and it'll remain on display through February 23rd. If you've never been to SICA, you owe it to yourself to go. It's beautifully set in the woods just off of Rinalda Road, right in the heart of the Rinalda Historic District. You get all the architectural splendor you'd expect from the Haynes' gorgeous English Hunt-style mansion, plus 8,896 square feet of beautifully laid-out contemporary gallery space, lit by dozens of enormous windows looking out at woods, open fields, and a small pond. Best of all, it's free. That's right. You can preview some of the amazing design elements that'll be on display at SICA on our website, wfdd.org. This is Triad Arts Weekend. I'm David Ford, and we're going to take a short break right now. When we return, it's time to shift gears and visit the world of geekdom. Bethany Chafin and Eddie Garcia are here to preview the Comic Book City Con in Greensboro, Geek Girl Rising, and more. Prepare to get your geek on next after this short break.